them. We fight for them. We intercede for them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, we're going to focus on this for just a moment. We're a little scattered. I want each and every one in this room to get a name on your mind. Let the Lord put someone on your mind right now. And if you're able, stand to your feet. And we're just going to let the Holy Ghost pray for that person. Whatever the Lord gives you to say, whether it's in tongues or in English, it doesn't matter. Whatever the Lord would have you to do, we're going to pray for that soul. If it was someone here this morning, if it was someone here that someone that wasn't here this morning, it doesn't matter. Whoever the Lord puts on your heart. And we're just going to call their name out. If you know their name, if you don't, God knows who they are. We're just going to say it just like this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for whoever it is. And I want you just to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in English, whatever the Lord would have you to pray. And we're going to pray until the Holy Ghost is done. Come on. We're not going to let these souls go easy. Come on. In the name of Jesus, call out their name right now. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for each and every soul that was in this place, Lord. Each and every soul, God, that you've given to us, Father. In the name of Jesus. We intercede on their behalf. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. We take dominion and authority over every enemy that would come against them in the name of Jesus. We push back against the darkness in the name of Jesus. Father, we care. We care for them, Lord. We care because you care, Father. We love them because you love them, Father. It's such as we have, Lord, we give in the name of Jesus. Just as others prayed for us, Father, we pray for them in the name of Jesus. A great harvest in the name of Jesus. Lord, there's going to be reapers of reapers in the name of Jesus. There's going to be harvesters of harvesters in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice and give him praise right now. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. For the Lord is doing a great work. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, if we don't pray for him, who will? Come on, if we don't intercede for him, who will? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, if you want a ministry in the kingdom, let your ministry be interceding. Let it be interceding. Let it be intercession for the lost. Come on, let that be your ministry. Anybody with the Holy Ghost can pray. Anybody with the Holy Ghost can pray. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, yes. Come on, somebody prayed for you. Come on, somebody prayed for you. Come on, you can't take credit for your salvation. Somebody was praying for you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Man, my God.
I want us to pray in this vein right now what God is trying to impart into our spirit, into our spiritual, so it becomes a part of our spiritual DNA, is discipleship. And what I taught about on Tuesday night, how that Boaz left Ruth a grain and barley for her to glean in the field. God is sending us people, and we have got to see the harvest and see every face and every name, that every face and every name is worth going after, that every face and every name matters to God. And therefore, it matters to me, and it is worth my effort to be used of God to help gather the harvest. And the more that we glean in the field, God's going to leave more for us. And it doesn't stop there. It leads to a place of dominion of the field, because he could trust us with gleaning in the field. Can you lift your hands and lift your voice? And let's just pray this into our spirit. If you don't know exactly what to pray, just pray in the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that there would be a transition in our spirit, that it would continue, that it would become a part of our DNA, that every face and every name matters in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray our eyes would be open to see the harvest, that our eyes would be open to see every face and read every name and see the value in every face and in every name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let a disciple making spirit get a hold of us from the top of our head to the sole of our feet. Let it possess us in the name of Jesus. God, I don't want to just be obsessed. I want to be possessed by your will. I want to be possessed by your love for humanity. Let that disciple making spirit get a hold of us and become a part of our DNA. We pray it in the name of Jesus. We receive it in the name of Jesus. We receive it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Grab somebody by the hand close to you right now and just agree together with them on this. We're going to pray this into our spirit. We're going to pray it into being. God is moving right now. He's downloading his will into our spirit. In the name of Jesus, this is a harvesting church. This is a soul-loving church. This is a soul-loving church. Every face and every name is valuable. In the name of Jesus, we're going after them 100%. We're going to glean in the field, and God is going to give us dominion over the field. In the name of Jesus, I declare souls. God is leading them to us, and we're going to receive them in the name of Jesus. We're going to pursue after them in the name of Jesus. Lord, open our eyes to see the harvest. Lord, open our eyes to see the harvest. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give us a passion for souls and a passion for disciple making in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, I loose it in Jesus' name. I see whole families coming into the kingdom. I see entire families coming into the kingdom. I see it. I see it. I see it. I see hungry people ready to receive. I see hungry families ready to receive in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm telling you, I know the architects are working on the concept. They're about done. We're getting closer and closer. But before we get in that building, we're going to desperately need the space in there because God is doing a work. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go ahead. We'll have a little music here in just a minute. Praise God. The Lord has given me a word for tonight. Praise team, come. We're going to worship the Lord a little bit. We're going to have communion in a few moments tonight. Praise God. What a great day it is today. Has been already the presence of the Lord that is here. And I just love the presence of God that I feel. And hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord right now and love Him together? Hallelujah. He's a good God tonight. Praise God.
high thing must come. Oh yes, every stronghold shall be broken. Oh, you wear the victor's crown. You overcome. Come on, declare that tonight. Oh, every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. Oh, you wear the. Oh yes, you overcome. Say every high thing must come down. Oh yes, every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor. Oh, you overcome. Oh yes, every high thing must come down. Oh, every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
At the cross, the work was finished. You were buried in the ground, but the grave could not contain. For you wear the victor's crown.
Come on. This place, he's worthy. Oh, we worship your name, Jesus. We exalt your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We bless your name, Jesus. bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Singing this chorus, I just wanted to do this. Every parent, grab your child. Put me the chorus up there on the screen again, can you? Let creation, every nation, generations. We've got to teach the generations how we praise God and how we don't do it. It happens intentionally. It's not playtime. We got to teach them the difference between playtime and worshiping God. But it's up to us parents to tell them and to show them that let creation, every nations, let the generations give him praises. Let the people, all his children, lift your voice and give. It's not just us adults that can give God praise, but we ought to show our children this is how we give God praise. Oh, hallelujah. Let's sing this together, the chorus again. Oh, nation,
every nation, generations, giving praises. Let the people, all the children, lift your voices, giving praises. Let creation,
hallelujah, hallelujah.
Generation,
this is how we do it.
Praises.
Oh, yes.
The people,
all his children. Clap our hands unto the Lord and give him praise one more time tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to bring an offering and worship the Lord in our giving. I have a word from the Lord that I felt the word that I've got tonight more than I did the one that I had this morning. And so we get to hear the good one tonight. Praise God. Robert Colvin, it's good to see you, man. We love you. Welcome home. We love you. So glad that you're here. So glad that you're here. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's bring an offering, worship Lord, and our giving. As you're coming, I'll just give just a quick announcement. Marriage night out, April the 28th, 6:30 at the Marsh's house. It's $20 per couple due to Sister Marsh by the 16th. Everybody say the 16th. $20, food, games, fellowship. Child care is not provided, so find your own babysitter. Also, as you're giving whatever, we are back at the Washington Street Mission this coming Saturday. So this Tuesday night, immediately following Tuesday night service like we do, we'll meet to rally and just make sure who we got coming. And so it's a blessing. We got people donating 50 bazillion eggs to that. Thank you. And it's a great time. There's a powerful flow of the Holy Ghost there. We're pressing forward. We're gonna see an increase in what God is gonna do there. And we wanna see people impacted, their eternities impacted by the Holy Ghost. If you've never been, I encourage you, just go one time and just we're not signing you up forever. But if you got a Saturday, if you got 2.5 hours on a Saturday morning, it's worth your time to meet us down there at 8:00, help serve, and then everybody that's there serving, you are then part of the prayer team. When it comes time to pray after the preacher's done preaching his little 10-15 minute sermon, we're going to pray with people. And it ain't no religiosity there. It's people that are hungry for God, need a touch from God, and it's, man, there's just a great flow of the Holy Ghost that's there. So I encourage you to at least try it out maybe once, just see what you think, and don't want to pressure anybody into doing anything, but you will be blessed by being there, and you will be a blessing being there as well. And that's one thing that God did. He blessed us to be a blessing. And praise God. So this coming Saturday, we'll be back there. Amen. Did everybody already give? Are we done? Are we done? Hallelujah. All right. Well, we're going to do communion when I'm done preaching. I'll still then bring it in there. But praise God. Grab your Bibles tonight. I have felt a word from the Lord earlier this week. Praise God. I tell you, it's amazing what the Lord is doing. For all of you that were in here Tuesday night, when I taught about the story of Ruth and how she comes back from the land of Moab to the city of Bethlehem. And because her and her mother-in-law were poor, they were gleaning in the field. And Boaz notices her, and he tells his servants to do this: leave her something extra on purpose. And she gleans in the field, brings back a whole bunch to Naomi. And Naomi makes Naomi a little nervous. Naomi's like, oh, hold on to this. We got to make sure that everything shakes out at the end of the day before we receive this. But what was happening is Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, was leaving her extra because he saw her in the field and she was receiving what was left for her. And the principle of what I taught Tuesday night is God is going to allow us, he's going to leave souls in our lap, okay? If we are not too busy or too good to glean in the field, God's going to start leaving us more because we're being responsible with what we've been given. And then it ultimately leads to dominion in the field. And then it ultimately leads to Ruth having a child and then ultimately being in the lineage of Christ. She would give birth, and two generations later, Jesse would be born, the father of David. Anyway, I say that to say, I got a text on Thursday night from a guy by the name of Brother Eddie Silguero. He does the sound for most Illinois district events, camp meeting. He was doing the sound for Illinois Youth Convention downtown. He texted me like 9:45. He said, hey, come over to the sound booth. I'm laying in the bed. I'm like, I can't make it right now. But I said, can I come over tomorrow? He said, yeah. So I went over there on Friday as Brother Galloway was preaching Friday afternoon. And he took me over to a man, one of the men that was running the sound that was contracted through Illinois Youth Ministries from Springfield. There's a company, a sound company that is based in Jacksonville that they do sound for the convention center. They do sound for the state fair. I guess all the big concerts at the grandstand, they're normally contracted to do all that sound. They provide the equipment, all the big stuff for the big shows. He was there helping to run the sound. Well, he had been there at youth convention helping to run sound, and one of the a lady from our district reached out to him and just said, hey, have you ever been to a Pentecostal church before? And he looked at her and said, no, but I've had chills for 3 days now. And they wound up praying for him, very hungry. And I went over, and Eddie's like, I want to introduce you to him. We asked him if he wants to go to church. I was like, okay. So I went over and I wound up talking with him after that service where Brother Galloway preached that Friday afternoon. I probably talked with him for, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. Left him a card, left him my number. And he knows his Bible very well. He was raised Lutheran and knows his Bible very, very well. It was a tremendous conversation. He's hungry. Well, that was him that was sitting right here this morning. God just said, here you go. They're calling me. That's an example of what God is doing. Here you go. Here's one. I've got a Bible study with him Thursday. His name's Chris. He's hungry for God. He's hungry for truth. Matter of fact, he came to Brother Philip Hayes at the end of service, and I'm paraphrasing, and he was asking about Jesus' name baptism. Well, I didn't know that they'd had that conversation. He said something to the effect of, you know, maybe I wasn't baptized that way, but something's telling me I need to be baptized, but I'm just kind of in between right now. And then after service was over, he was asking me where he should start reading to better understand what we preach. I said, read the book of Acts. You'll find five times where they're baptized in the name of Jesus. It was the only way they were baptized. Acts chapter 2, 8, 10, 19, and 22. It's the only way they were baptized. I had no idea they'd had that conversation. And the Lord's talking to him. He's hungry. He knows his Bible. He knows his Bible. But here you got to get this. You got to get this. What God is doing. We sometimes are scared to death somebody's going to know more Bible than us and make us look stupid. When people are hungry, he knows his Bible very well. But he doesn't have a combative spirit. He's hungry for the Word of God. That's the people God's going to lead you to. God's going to say, here you go. Here's a free Bible study. Don't even have to work for this one. Somebody else is going to talk to him. Somebody else is going to pray for him. Somebody's going to call you and say, hey, come get him. All right, I'll go get him. Thank you. So we have a Bible study Thursday. And God is leading this man. He's a pro sound engineer. He does all the big shows. And he's hungry for God. And there's a number of people that were here today that are just hungry for God. I'm telling you. I could tell you another story. There's an individual that was here today, second time, that a few weeks ago, she was driving past the church and had gone to Pentecostal churches in the past and saw the sign and said, oh, Pentecostal church, made a note in her brain. And then a few days later, drove past the church again, made a note in her brain, oh, it's on Monroe. Wakes up on Sunday morning and one of her friends says, hey, go to church with me. I'm going to a Pentecostal church. She goes, is that church on Monroe Street? Is it a red brick building? The Lord had already lined her steps up. She was here back a second time today, crying out to God. Praise God. Praise God. I feel a shift, a major shift in the spirit. And praise God. Second Corinthians chapter number 5. No. Hold up. No, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I wrote the wrong one down here. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 11 later. Praise God. I'll make a decision here very, very shortly. But I made a couple of things. I'm not going to try and hold you forever tonight. I know it's been a big day. And understand that dynamic. God's going to speak to us, but can we do something just to help everybody out? This is one of those things we don't naturally think of. When new folks come in, and this is going to apply more on Sunday morning because Sunday morning is our bigger crowd. We need to fill this up right here so they can have the seats at the perimeter. We tend to sit like I'm looking at an arch most of the time, right? We just do it. It's just one of our habits. It's all right. Why don't we make it a point to fill in more in the front area here so they don't feel like they've got to come all the way down second or third row and they don't know us. We want to fill this in so they can feel a little more. If they don't know us, they're going to feel a little more comfortable towards the back. Now, that doesn't necessarily apply right there now at this moment, but as the crowd gets bigger, this will make it easier for guests and newcomers to let them have a seat that's a little more comfortable for them as they check us out. So is that all right with everybody? Yeah. Praise God. I was going to say something else and I forgot. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading at... Oh, I probably could read the whole chapter, but... Let's begin reading at verse number 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. Praise God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we command not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We go back to verse number 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I'll preach tonight from this title for a few moments, My Personal Ministry from God. My Personal Ministry from God. Praise God. Can we lift our hands one more time to the Lord? I won't be long tonight. Let's reach out to the Lord and love him together. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your spirit, for your power, for your blood. We thank you for the power that's only found in your name and in your word. Hallelujah. Lord, minister to us, speak to us tonight. Lord, we will receive what you are imparting into our spirit tonight in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, can you clap your hands one more time to the Lord and love him tonight? Hallelujah. You can be seated tonight. I want to read one more or a couple more verses of scripture. I didn't give it to you, Sister Yolanda. Luke chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. Luke chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. Everybody has been given a personal ministry from God. Everybody. We look at ministry as what somebody is maybe gifted in. We don't understand the difference between a gifting and a ministry. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Oh, can you go to verse number 9? Verse number 9. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to... And Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is also a son of Abraham. Verse number 10. I'm sorry, I must have not had my glasses on. That's what my problem is. Verse number 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. When he's making this statement here, he's not calling Zacchaeus a that. This is who the story is about. He's not calling him a that. He's referring to what was lost in the garden, and that was relationship. Ever since sin entered into the world, the world has been chaos. There's always been something between God and man. The law of Moses could not get rid of this. The law of Moses could not perfect this, could not take care of it. And When Jesus here is talking in Luke chapter 19, he references that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He desires relationship with humanity. It is reconciliation that the Lord desires with humanity, with all that would come to his name. And so it is a reconciling. It is a coming back together. This is what reconciliation is. Reconciliation is the coming back together, for example, of friends who had a falling out. There is a reconciling where they had relationship, then it fell apart, and they came back together again. That is what reconciliation is. And in our reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he's telling us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to him, to himself, by Jesus Christ. When you receive the Holy Ghost and you are baptized in Jesus' name, when you were born of the water and of the Spirit, there was a reconciliation that happened between you as a human being and God himself that could not come back together except God would save us, and we would be born of the water and of the Spirit, and we would be regenerated and brought into the kingdom of God. That was all of humanity cannot come back to God except they do it his way and through his means and what he tells us to do, because sin has broken the relationship with man and with God. Right. So there needs to be reconciliation. This is what God was after from the very beginning. What was broken in the garden, God desired to bring that back together. But man, in our frailty, we cannot do it. He had to do it. He had to provide a way of escape. He had to provide a sacrifice. He had to cover, and he had to die in our stead. He had to do all the work. He provided the sacrifice, and he does the saving. That's a good God. I don't have to work for my salvation. I don't have to be a good person and have a long list of good deeds in order to earn my salvation. He provided the sacrifice. He loved me when I was unlovable. And when I come to him and I repent, he is the one that does the forgiving. He does the saving. He does the regenerating. He is the one that brings me to life and fills me with his Spirit. He does all the work. I've just got to obey his word and do what he tells me to do. And when I do that, he is the one that saves me and forgives me. And there is reconciliation. But it doesn't stop there. Immediately, upon you being born again, he imparts something into your spirit. Right. He gives you a ministry. He imparts something into you that you will have until the day that you die. If you have the Holy Ghost, if the Holy Ghost has ever resided within you, then within you is the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is that a part of God that comes to us, that draws us, and that woos us to him. The reconciliation of God, it starts with the thoughts in a sinner's mind or a backslider's mind and says, I want you to come back home. I want you to come back to the presence of God. The thoughts in somebody's mind that may be in a lost condition, that where the thoughts come to their mind, I got to go back to the house of God, or I've got to get to the house of God, or I just need God to do something for me. I can't even describe it. That is the beginning of the reconciliation of our Lord towards lost humanity. It is him putting those thoughts in their mind and affecting their thought process so that he begins to gather them to him. The Bible says in a particular passage, he would have gathered them under his wings as a chicken does over the brood of chicks as they come under the covering of that mother, of that hen. This is what God would do for humanity. He is trying to gather them under his wings. He is trying to woo and gather humanity under him. It is the ministry of reconciliation. He's trying to reconcile. He's drawing man. He's drawing them. But it's not just God. that is trying to reconcile with humanity. Upon being born of the water and born of the Spirit, when His Spirit gets within you, the moment His Spirit enters into your spirit, what also came with it was the ministry of reconciliation. His DNA, His spiritual DNA, once you receive His Spirit, it is placed within you. Because through you, He will begin to reconcile somebody else. It is often a failed thought process of many people that sit in churches all over the world that God will use so-and-so or such-and-such for whatever said reason. Maybe they have a gifting. We often, so many times, cannot tell the difference between a gifting and a ministry. Somebody may be gifted in music. That does not mean they have a ministry. You understand? There are people that can roll out of bed and do whatever. They have gifting. Some people are gifted with people. Some people can strike up a conversation with a fence post and it go really, really well. They just have the ability to break the ice and make people feel comfortable talking to them. They have a gift. Okay, they're gifted. They're gifted with people. Doesn't mean they have a ministry. Only when it's submitted and surrendered to God for Him to use it does that gifting turn into a ministry. But you all have. He doesn't say you have a gifting. He says He has imparted into us the ministry, given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has given you your own personal ministry. It's not going to look like somebody else's ministry because many times God will capitalize on your giftings. God can use your giftings. That's all well and good. But just because you're not gifted like the person you're sitting next to does not mean you don't have a ministry. We've got to understand the flow of God's Spirit. We've got to understand how ministry works. This ministry of reconciliation, God wants you to take that ministry and to take ownership of it and believe the Word of God that if He gave me a ministry where I sow, I shall reap, and it will be effective because it's not something I'm trying to do by myself, but by the Word of God and His Spirit, I have received the ministry of reconciliation. What am I talking about? I'm talking about discipleship. Every person has the ability to make a disciple. And when you begin to talk to somebody and look them in their eye and tell them that Jesus loves them or tell them that God has a plan for their life, and you look right in their eye, which the Bible says is the window of their soul, and you look them dead in the eye and say, I'm praying for you and I believe in you and I believe God is leading you. Do you know what's happening? That ministry of reconciliation is working through you as God is reaching for them through you. It has nothing to do with your giftings. It has to do with the fact that God has empowered you by His Spirit and has given you your own personal ministry. He's given it to you. But we tend to judge our own selves by reactions of people. I'm telling you, if we can get a hold of this, every person under the sound of my voice, if you have the Holy Ghost, He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That means people that are lost without God, human beings that are lost without God, He's trying to bring them back to Him. He's trying to seek and save that which was lost in the garden. He's trying to restore relationship between God and man. He's trying to restore them to a place of rightful place in His kingdom that was lost in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. And we as individuals, as a church, it comes down to the individual. You've got to begin to believe and understand that God has given you a personal ministry of reconciliation. There is somebody somewhere that you can look them eyeball to eyeball and begin to tell them that Jesus loves them or that you're praying for them. It may be very, very simple. Or can I teach you a Bible study? Can I pray for your family? Is it okay if I teach you a Bible study? Is it okay if we get together and have coffee? coffee. And what you don't understand is the ministry of reconciliation is working through you as God through you is restoring and reconciling them to him. It's what he's given us. We are expecting in the church world, in church circles, we're waiting to get a phone call to sing a solo because that's where the ministry is. No, sorry. Music is very biblical, but I don't see where the Lord said everybody's going to be involved in the music ministry. You know, we capitalize in our own religious tradition in the Pentecostal movement on certain things that are deemed more valuable than others. I appreciate the musicianship, the singers. We have exceptional music. We really do. Some of you may not realize. You need to go somewhere else and just figure out how exceptional it really is, because they like it everywhere, and I'm thankful for it. But I have also gone to some churches where when they were singing, I would have rather heard nails on a chalkboard, but then look around and see 1,000 people. You know why? Because it's not the skilled musician that's going to bring souls to Jesus. It's the ministry of reconciliation. That's where it's at. We in the Pentecostal movement, in our religious tradition, we pride ourselves on certain things. We've got good preaching. We've got good music. We got the good this, and this. And we minor on what the Bible says to do. We minor on what the Bible majors on. And that is go and make disciples. We've got to understand that within you, if you have the Spirit of God, you have a ministry that someone else is going to receive and glean from.
Yes.
Brother Austin was just teaching a Bible study yesterday to one individual and had somebody, a Muslim, that was sitting behind him. He didn't know, listening to the whole thing, turned around and said, "Hey, I'm sorry to interrupt, but what you've been talking about, I've been hungry for it. I've been trying to figure it out." So he winds up, what was about an hour you talked with him on Jesus' name baptism. I'm talking about the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, hallelujah. God is drawing and God is wooing. We've just got to understand it's not about me or my giftings or what I'm good at. I've just got to be willing to speak the word of God and love people and make disciples. And through that, the ministry of reconciliation is bringing people to him. You, each and every one of you, have the ministry of reconciliation within you. Everybody just needs to find one person, at the very least, just one. And focus on one person for a year. And the congregation has doubled. I'm not asking you to go preach a crusade. I'm not asking you to throw up a tent. Just find one person and make a disciple out of them. When I was listening to Brother Galloway, he was talking about, on that Friday, he was talking about, I guess there was a group of people, young people, that decided to start having backyard worship or something like that. Do you remember that? They were talking about just getting together and having backyard, just in the backyard somewhere and worshiping together and just loving Jesus and sharing a word. And it grew and grew and grew. And what came to my mind was you. You could do that.
Right.
People just come. Just ministering to people. People will listen to you. You got to understand that. Ministry of reconciliation. If we'll just believe that God will do it,
yes.
God will do it. We've got to leave. You know, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again. And this isn't just us. This is many churches. This is kind of what the church battles. It is a threshold in front of us that the Lord is helping us get across. But we can huddle up on Sunday and then not run the play on Monday. Talk about the great things. I'm thankful for the power that we feel here every time we come together. There's an anointing that's just here, even on our, you know, dead services where it just doesn't seem where we really got there. To the person that doesn't know God, let me tell you, they feel a whole lot more than we think we feel or don't feel. Because there's just a residing presence of the Lord that when we come together, your faith is strong in God. But we've got to learn and just give ourselves to the ministry of reconciliation, of God seeking after sinners and bringing them back into relationship with Him. If you notice this morning, there was an individual who's been coming for about a couple of months, and he was coming up here during the worship service and getting a little closer. And guess what? God's bringing them closer. God's bringing them closer. And we've got to text and we've got to call and we've got to get in their lives and realize that God is wanting to reconcile them. We got to pull them closer. And it may not happen all at once. I'm not expecting it to. I want converts, not just somebody having an experience and leaving the next day. But when we get in the lives of people and allow the ministry of reconciliation to flow through us, just ministering to them and loving them, loving souls, loving this city, finding somebody to allow the Spirit of God to flow through them. You have no idea how powerful it is for somebody full of the Holy Ghost to look them eyeball to eyeball in as serious and as sober as you are to tell them God has a plan for your life. You have no idea how much that affects them. I made a statement to this in our meeting this afternoon. All of our small group leaders, one of the questions came up when we were beginning the groups, and as the groups are growing a little bit, what if one person gets asked by five different people to go to a small group? You know, who do they go to? Well, it may just be that person has never been fought over by anybody in their life. And they're going to feel the love of God as all of a sudden a bunch of people want them to come. And now they're having to decide where to go because everybody wants them to be a part of their life. That's the ministry of reconciliation. He reconciled us to Him. He pulled us in. He forgave us. He pulled us closer to Him. And I'm telling you right now, there's a shift that has happened in the spirit. There's a shift that's happening right now in our hearts and in our way of thinking. God is showing us the harvest, and not just showing us the harvest, but showing us how that we are going to facilitate what the will of God has been for a long time of getting in the harvest and making disciples and making my job what God does between Monday and Saturday, not just on Sunday. God is drawing people, and He's in just like the story of Ruth and Boaz. He is leaving extra out there for us, saying, here you go. All you got to do is just gather it up. And here we are. We're going to gather it up. We ought to make a commitment before God right now tonight that we're not going to miss anything that He leaves for us to gather up. Not one soul, not one face, not one name, not one phone number. Let's lift our hands right now. And I want us to make a commitment in this place. Lift up your voice. Would you stand with me right now? Lift up your voice in the name of Jesus. Lord, we as your people, we commit right now not to miss one thing that you leave to us, not one soul, not one name, not one face, not one relationship, God, but we are going to glean everything that is left unto us. Every soul matters. Every soul counts. Lord, we are committing ourselves to the harvest. We are committing ourselves to the ministry of reconciliation because you are drawing men and women to you. You are drawing them to you, and we are going to be a part of the harvest. We are going to be a part of souls coming into the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Be seated for just a moment. I'm just about done. I've heard it said, and you've heard it said many times. Do what you love to do, and you'll never work a day in your life. If souls is what we love, what we genuinely, deeply love, then we won't regret and reject the labor.
Right, right, that's good.
Because there is joy set before us.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing how your kid can wake you up in the middle of the night and it just... something about it's like, oh. But then you hold them and you're like, I still remember when Scarlett was born, and as little as she was, and she was waking up at like every 2 hours, and I never thought in that time that before I had kids that I would ever wake up in the middle of the night multiple times and goo goo and gaga with the baby at 2 o'clock in the morning. Because of the love that you have for that child, for the joy that it brings you, you forget about the labor involved. Yes, yes. And all of a sudden, then I begin to realize I can go on less sleep than I used to think that I could. And because you love them so much. When we love the labor of the kingdom, it ceases to be labor. It's not labor when somebody is genuinely hungry to hear what the Word of God says and they want to have a Bible study. When they see in Scripture, I'll tell you this, this is funny. I know I've made this, I'm just about done. This is great though. Friday, when I was talking to Chris at the convention center, I'm getting the filter going. We were talking, and he said, I noticed the men and women dressed differently here. I said, yeah. I said, did you know there's Bible for that? He's like, I said, it's the separation of the genders. He goes, oh. I said, we live in a weird time now. And when a boy decides he's going to try and be a girl, what does he do? I said, outwardly, there's two things. He goes, grow his hair out and put on a dress. I said, there's actually Bible for it. And it's like the light bulb came on the look on his face was like. So I just, you know, want to thank all the trainees for helping me convince this guy that there's a difference between men and women. It is what it is. I mean. You can't escape nature. As much as society is twisted and they try to twist things, you cannot escape what God naturally put within us. This dude was raised Lutheran. And I watched as the light bulb came on his face. And he saw it. There's a difference between men and women. There's people that are hungry. They're not going to reject holiness. They're going to gravitate to it. There's people that are going to see it. But when we minister to them with the ministry of reconciliation, not proving to them how much we know, we're trying to talk. No. When the Word of God goes forth, it goes forth with love. Let's stand. Praise God. God dumped a bunch of them in our lap today. He sure did. If you know of any of them personally, we have a follow-up team, but that includes all of us. You got the Holy Ghost. If you're part of the church, guess what? You're on the follow-up department, because that's who we are. That's the ministry of reconciliation. If you want a phone number of somebody that filled out a card, come ask. We can get it to you. There should be a number of people that say, hey, I want to call so-and-so. Hey, I want to talk to them. I want to connect with them. I want to intentionally get in their life and let them feel what it feels like for an apostolic full of the love of God and full of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to make sure they know what it's like to have a friend that's full of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be the friend that makes all the other friends look shady. I'm going to be the friend that makes them evaluate all the other friends in their life and let them determine the difference and know that the friend that's got the Holy Ghost is the friend that's really real. That's not just got something in it for their own personal gain. But when the ministry of reconciliation flows through you, what that does is that draws people closer to God. You're going to bring them in through the ministry that God has given you. He's given it to you. When you got the Holy Ghost, He gave you your own personal ministry. Lift your hands right now to the Lord. Let's love him all over this place tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that ministry of reconciliation would come alive in our spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray the ministry of reconciliation would flow through us. Lord, to every sinner, to every backslider, to every person that's hungry for God, to every person that's leaning in the direction of coming to the house of God, that's interested in the things of God. Lord, I pray that the ministry of reconciliation would be activated in our spirit and we would see it for what it is, that we would know what it is for the Spirit of God to flow through us. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Let's come in just a little bit closer tonight. Can we do that? Hallelujah. Let's come in together to the altar. Grab somebody by the hand. Put your hand on the shoulder. Let's connect with somebody right now. As the body of Christ, we're not leaving here tonight to just go about our week, but we're leaving here tonight with a mission from God. That is the Great Commission. That is to go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. There's somebody in your path that needs somebody that's got the Holy Ghost to befriend them and to love them and to minister to them, for the ministry of reconciliation to begin to flow through you as you begin to bring them back to a place where God intended for them to be in the first place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, in Jesus' name, God, I'm going to let that ministry of reconciliation that brought me to you, I'm going to let it operate through me so that somebody else might be saved, so that somebody else might be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that this next trimester of small groups is going to be explosive. I believe we have crossed something in the spirit. I'm telling you, I feel it. I see it. I see an explosion. We have dug for a couple of years, and I sense in my spirit an explosion in our small groups. Not just a little trickle of growth, but I see an explosion in Jesus' name. And we're going to be in the harvest, and that ministry of reconciliation is going to operate through you while you're hanging out with somebody and just fellowshipping. That's not just hanging out and having a good time. It's the ministry of reconciliation as God is using you to reach to them and bring them closer to him, to bring them closer to him and to bring them into the kingdom. I'm telling you, God's going to do it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's somebody there. Oh, yes. God's going to drop them in your lap. Just pray. God, this is what God's doing in the body. And if you want it, pray it. The Lord will do it for you. Lord, drop somebody in my lap. That's what the Lord did, Chris, for me. I've been praying for somebody else. I've got two lined up right now. My list is growing. My list is growing. I can't disciple everybody. I can't help everybody all at one time. I'm one person. But my list is going to grow, and I'm going to max it out until I have to dish somebody. Hey, you need to take care of them. You need to take ownership of them. You need to call them. You can only take care of so many people at one time, but I'm going to have my group. I've got it right now. It's going to grow. My list is growing that I'm praying for. And I'm just letting that ministry of reconciliation flow. Guy I've been working on for a couple of years, when all the tornadoes came through, a few weeks ago, whenever that was, he texted me to see how I was doing. Okay? May not be seem like a big deal, but the relationship is getting closer. I thought, aha. All right. He's starting to care for me. This isn't just a one-way relationship. He thought about me. All right. We're making progress. It's taking a little while. There's another person I text on a daily basis. Call the other day, out of the blue, he texted me, have a blessed day, have a good week, something like that. Ha. The
The relationship is strengthening.
Yep.
Disciple. Going to disciple. Ministry of reconciliation. God, it doesn't matter. This is where the playing field is leveled. You got to understand this. You know what you need to get in your brain? This is going to sound really whatever. You understand what I mean? Nobody's better than you. You got to get it out of your brain that so-and-so's better than me. When we have the Holy Ghost, everyone has the ministry of reconciliation. But we often looked at gifted people and think, oh, well, they got something I don't have. And, you know, personally, I've realized how much that has plagued me. I'm not as good as so-and-so, such-and-such. And in prayer, you know, the Bible talks about tearing down imagination, strongholds of the mind. There can be strongholds in our mind that can be very simple as something like that. Well, I'm not as good as so-and-so. That can be a stronghold of your mind. So you know what I begin to do? I begin to tear it down in prayer. And this sounds kind of weird, all right? But I'm already weird, so that is what it is. We're apostolic. We're already weird. I begin to go into prayer. Lord, in the name of Jesus, nobody is better than me. I tear down that thought. Nobody has an advantage over me or has something I don't have. I take that thought and I tear it down. I tear down that stronghold. And what you didn't know is what you came to tell me after you got back from that trip. God had been dealing with me about that exact thing when you came back from Texas. You know what I'm talking about? That week before, I'd been in here praying, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Something began to get lighter over my spirit. We can have strongholds in our mind that we just need to tear them down. We all have the ministry of reconciliation. It's in you. You have your own ministry. And we understand what ministry and gifting is. You can get up and play and sing or do whatever we consider ministry in the church. And it could minister to nobody. It could just be a display of your gifting. But ministry is supernatural. Ministry cuts right to the soul of an individual. They may not respond like it does. They may not show on the outside like it does. But when you, through the Spirit of God, you say, God, I'm gonna let you use me and I'm gonna reach for somebody. And you begin to have conversations with a sinner and you look them in the face and you tell them what the Lord is in that conversation, and that ministry is cutting right to the very soul of who they are. And it's speaking to the inner man. That's ministry. That's ministry. Lift your hands one more time. Let's love the Lord together tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for what you're imparting into us. We receive it in Jesus' name. We're going to walk therein in the ministry of reconciliation. This is your commandment to us. This is your will for every person that is here tonight, is to be used in the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let it be done so, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. We are going to observe communion tonight. Brother Jones and somebody else he can grab with him. I felt specifically to do this tonight. If you have the Holy Ghost, or if you want to, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11 that wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. As I understand it, my understanding of that is someone who would take it with a flippant attitude. This is a very sobering thing. A sober person, sober-minded person, can partake in communion in observing the blood and the body of the Lord. And we want you to do that if you fall into that category. I want to encourage all of us, if you could gather together with your family right now, if you have family here tonight, we want to do this as families. We want the blood of Jesus Christ upon our life, upon our family. The Bible tells us that as the 10th plague was coming upon Egypt, They were to take the blood of the lamb, they were to mix it with hyssop, they were to put it on the doorposts of their house. And when the angel of death came through the land of Egypt, he would see the blood and he would pass over that household. Maybe if you don't have a blood family here, link up with somebody close to you. We're the family of God together. And we want the blood of Christ on our life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just love the Lord as there continue to pass. Can we just pray? Let's just love Him together. Today is a special day. Why don't we thank Him for His sacrifice to us, for His death, burial, and resurrection. It was His body that was beaten on the cross, on the whipping post, the blood that was spilled that is so precious, that because of His blood, we can receive remission of sins. Lord, we thank You tonight for Your blood. We thank You tonight for Your sacrifice. I thank You on behalf of my family for Your sacrifice. And Lord, we want Your blood, Your precious blood, to be applied to our lives tonight. We want Your precious blood to be upon us tonight in the name of Jesus. 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 We thank You, Lord. I want us to pray a prayer of repentance as individuals, as families, and as a church. Pray over yourself, of course. And then you may pray it like this, and just an example, Lord, forgive the Herod household for any trespass. I bring my household under Your covering, under Your blood. Lord, the Pentecostals of Springfield, this is how we'll pray it. So those three things, individuals, families, and the church. I want us to pray a prayer of repentance together. Now, let me just say this before we go. I don't have the scripture reference in front of me, but many times we'll pray in tongues real loud and we'll repent almost in silence. There's a scripture in the Bible, and I forget, I could find it for you. The Bible says they lifted up their voices and they repented. It's not a shameful thing to repent. We are all sinners saved by the grace of God. Okay? I'm not telling you to shout your business, all right? It's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is repentance gets the attention of God. And we're going to do that. We're going to lift up our voice with a voice of repentance because this matters to us. We want to be right with God. Every one of us here tonight, I believe we want to be right with God. Can we lift up our voice right now? And I'll lead us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask You to forgive me of my iniquity, of my self-control. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask You to forgive me, and I repent right now of every evil word, every evil deed, every evil thought in my life. In the name of Jesus, every evil thing I have seen or heard, anything that would be displeasing to You, Lord, I repent to You right now in the name of Jesus. I repent to You right now for the Herod household. Lord, for any trespass, for any evil word, any evil deed, any evil thought as over my family, over my wife and my children. Lord, I repent on our behalf. My household lives in repentance. We repent before You right now, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we repent. We repent, Lord. Lord, our church as a congregation, we repent together tonight of any iniquity in our heart. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we repent right now. Lord, before You, Lord, we don't want anything in our life that is displeasing to You. We don't want anything in our life that is sinful towards You. We repent of iniquity, of self-control, of self-will. In the name of Jesus, we repent right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, forgive us. Wash us and cleanse us right now with Your blood and by Your Spirit, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We can receive remission of sins, and we can receive the Spirit of God because Jesus Christ fronted the bill. He paid the cost. He picked up the tab. so that the reason we are here tonight and we feel his presence is because he paid the price. And that he allowed them to tie him to the whipping post and to beat his body. He allowed them to put a cross upon his back and a crown of thorns upon his head. He allowed them to nail him to the cross and to stay on that cross for some 3.5 hours or so. He let them. His body was broken. And how precious his body is. And 2,000 years later, we observe his body. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 24, it says, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread tonight. Let's thank him for his body tonight that was broken. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we remember tonight. Lord, we remember what you went through and what you sacrificed for us. We remember tonight that your body was abused and broken and abused. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for your body that was broken for us. In Jesus' name. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Let's take the cup tonight. Let's lift our hands and lift our voice and thank him tonight for his blood. We thank you, Jesus, for the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, it is because of your blood that we have remission of sins. I would still be unforgiven if it wasn't for your blood. I would still be unforgiven if it wasn't for your blood. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice of Calvary. We thank you, Jesus, for paying the bill so that I can be saved and I can be set free and I can have relationship with you and it can be restored for you. Lord, I thank you for your body that was broken and your blood that was spilled, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In symbolism here tonight, as we are commanded, what we do is we come under the covering of his blood as a church. You may struggle with things, you may fight things at times, but when you stay under the covering of his blood and you love his body that was broken, Satan cannot destroy you. And so tonight what we're saying is, God, we're going to stay under the covering of your blood. Lord Jesus, we're going to stay under the covering of your blood and your sacrifice on Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to understand that if you go into the doctor today and you're having problems with a part of your body, they're very possibly going to draw your blood. Because in your blood tells them a lot of things about what's going on in the body. If you're having kidney problems, they're going to draw your blood. And when we take his blood upon us, we are taking upon us the blood of an overcomer. That even though they killed him, he rose from the grave. And so you can face situations that seem like it's going to kill you. But when you've got the blood of the overcomer upon you, within the blood is everything needed to defeat every enemy and to defeat every strategy of the enemy against your life. I'm telling you, there's nothing that can defeat the blood, because within the blood is everything that Jesus was and is. Let's thank him for the blood one more time. Hallelujah. Lord, we're going to stay under the blood. Hallelujah. Every battle that is being fought, every war that is raging in the lives of God's people, Lord, your blood is going to cover us and empower us as a congregation. Lord, we're going to be used by you powerfully because of your blood. We're going to make it because of your blood, because we're going to stay under the covering of your blood and the love for your body that was broken. Praise God. Praise God. The message is Jesus. The message is Jesus. I'm done. I'm wrapping it up. It doesn't matter what your background is or what your testimony is or is not. You still have the ministry of reconciliation because you are not the sermon. He is. It's all about Jesus. It's not about what I can do for you. It's not about my background or my history. It's all about Jesus. It's about his body that was broken, that was buried, and that rose again. And because it's all about Jesus, that ministry of reconciliation can flow through me to somebody else. Just point them to Jesus this week. You don't have to qualify yourself. Just point them to him. He's a good God. Praise God, today's a good day. As you're going tonight, one more time before we go, let's just lift our hands and love the Lord and thank him for his presence today, for what he's done. Lord, I pray that the power of the Holy Ghost would flow through every believer here. Lord, we are believers. We are believers. We're going to leave here with faith and with power, with the ministry of reconciliation flowing out of our mouth, flowing out of our spirit to those around me. God, you're going to bring us in contact with somebody who's hungry for what only Jesus can provide. In Jesus' name. Clap your hands unto the Lord. You are dismissed in Jesus' name. Praise God.